How can we thank God for the unsearchable riches of Christ? Christ is the great philanthropist. He is richer than Bill Gates. He's richer than Warren Buffett. He's richer than Donald Trump. He's richer than Oprah Winfrey. He's rich in the vast resources of this universe. He's rich in the exercise of all power in heaven and in earth. He's rich in the control of the myriads of constellations beyond the searching gaze of the most penetrating telescope. He's rich in the surging tides of the ocean. He's rich in wisdom and justice. But I want to thank God this morning. He's rich in mercy and love. You see, it was his grace and his mercy that brought me through. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I'm living this moment because of you. And I want to thank you and praise you too. Because your grace, and your mercy brought me through. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, I want to also say to all of our guests today, we have a complimentary CD of this message today. We certainly hope that it's going to bless you. If you have your personal copy of the world's bestseller, that's the Bible if you didn't know it. I want to call your attention to the book of Matthew. The chapter is 4. And the verses for your consideration are 8 through 11. Matthew chapter 4. Verses 8 through 11. You have that? Say amen. Amen. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. Behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Using this text this morning, I want to share the subject, Shortcuts to Heaven. Shortcuts to Heaven. And as we explore this thought today, it would be in order to define shortcut. Shortcut is a shorter route. It is a shorter route than the direct route. Sometimes a shortcut can be a time saver. Now, of course, in the proper context, a shortcut can be good. A shortcut can be helpful. But in the wrong context, a shortcut could be detrimental and even devastating. Let me say at the onset, there is no shortcut to heaven. Amen. But there is a true way to get to heaven. Now in this text, the devil took Jesus in the temptation of Christ. He took him up to an exceeding high mountain. He took him up to the pinnacle of the mountain. He took him up to the peak of the mountain. He took him to the summit of the mountain, and he showed him a panoramic view of all the kingdoms of the world, of all the kingdoms of the cosmos, of all of the kingdoms of the world. He showed him not only the kingdoms of the world, but he showed them their splendor and their glory. He showed them the things that were appealing and attractive about the kingdoms of the world. Now, it was a panoramic view. And a panoramic view means that it can be viewed in all directions, unobstructed view. Now, there are some scholars who believe that this was psychological and instantaneous, that it involved somehow the devil allowed all of the kingdom of the world to simultaneously pass through before the sight of Jesus. Now, according to Luke chapter 4 and verse 5, Brother Hillary, it says that this was in a moment. I'm going to have him to read that. Luke chapter 4 and verse 5. He talks about the fact that this panoramic view, this grasp and comprehension of the kingdom, it took place in a moment, according to Luke chapter 4 and verse number 5. What does it say, Brother Hillary?
And the devil taking him up into a high mountain.
And the devil taking him up into a high mountain.
Showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world.
Showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world.
In a moment of time.
In a moment of time. It was instantaneous. It was psychological. There were elements of the imagination involved. And he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their attendant glory, because he knew that Jesus wanted the kingdoms of the world. And said unto Jesus, I can offer you a shortcut. I can show you how to get the kingdom of the world, and you won't have to go through the struggle and the agony of Calvary and the cross and the crucifixion. All you have to do is just fall down and worship me, because I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. Because the devil, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's the god of this world. According to 1 John 12:21, he's called the prince of the world. And the devil says that these kingdoms are mine, and I have the authority to give them unto you. All you've got to do, Jesus, is take this shortcut. Take this shortcut and bow down, and these things will be yours. And Jesus said unto him, away with you, Satan. Away with you, Satan. He said, I'm not going to take your shortcut, Satan, because God's way is the only way. I'm not going to take your shortcut, Satan, because God's way is the true way. Amen. And also, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the text say the devil left him. You know, you got to know how to get the devil off you. Hello? The devil will jump on you, but you got to know how to get him off you. Is that all right? The Bible says that whenever the devil would come at Jesus, in every case of attack, Jesus told him, it is written. You see, the devil don't like the word. And if you put the word on him, he's got the bag up off you. You got to know how to handle the devil. According to James chapter 4 and verse number 7, if you resist the devil, submit yourselves therefore unto God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. According to Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible talks about the fact, in order to handle the devil, you've got to put on the whole armor of God. In God's arsenal, there is what's called the sword of the Spirit. And the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. So in order to handle the devil, you've got to resist him. You got to get him off you. Is that right? And when the devil is offering you a shortcut, you've got to say, get behind me, Satan. Because shortcut, there are no shortcuts to the best way. The devil wants you to follow the path of least resistance. He wants you to follow a false. And understand this, the devil is working in the world. You got to understand that he's real today. Amen. And he is at work in the world. Now, There are two things I want you to see in this message this morning. Number one, I want you to see things about heaven and why you should make sure you get there. Hello? You need to understand some things about heaven, and you need to make sure that you get there. And number two, I want you to see that God has no shortcuts in his plan. Amen? Now, when we look at this first idea, things about heaven and why you should want to get there, let's talk about desire for a moment. Desire is a very important part of human life. You see, all of us want something. Oh, I wish I had some help here. Everybody wants something. Is that all right? Desire is a driving mechanism and force in human lives. We all want something. And that's why it's so important that whatever you desire, whatever you want in your life, you've got to let that desire be directed by your highest wisdom, your highest understanding, and your highest knowledge. Well, why is that true, preacher? It's true because if you desire and pursue the wrong thing, it can wreck and ruin your life. Is that all right? You have to check yourself before you wreck yourself. And this is why also if you're going to desire something, you've got to desire and pursue the right things. And that's why all of us here today ought to have a desire to go to heaven, that I'm not going to miss heaven. One place I'm going, I may not go to Vegas. Oh, I wish I had some help here. But I'm going to heaven. I'm going to make it my business to go to a place called heaven. But we need some information on heaven. We need some information that's not misleading on how to get there. Anybody want to go there? We need information that is infallible. When I say infallible, it can't mislead. Well, the expert on heaven is a man named Jesus. He is the authority on heaven because he came down from heaven. John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And then in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He came down from heaven through the incarnation of the virgin birth. He lived in this world for 30 some years and completed the work of salvation. And one day he got up on a crowd. He didn't get a flight with Southwest. He didn't get a flight with Delta. He stepped on a cloud and went back to heaven. And somebody said in Psalm 24 that as he approached, can't you see him now riding up on the cloud? Passing by the sun. Passing by the moon. And somebody said when he got to the gate of heaven, Brother Freeman, they heard somebody cry out, lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Somebody asked, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting door, and the King of glory shall come in. Right now, Jesus Christ is sitting in heaven at the right hand of God, and he is interceding for every child of God. Is that all right? Oh, that's good. And one day, he's coming back from heaven. He said, I go away to prepare a place for you. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Is that all right? And he said, I'm coming again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I want to go to heaven. Is that all right? And I know that Jesus Christ is not a way. He is the way to heaven. Is that all right? Amen. But not only that, Jesus Christ tells us. He said, invest in heaven. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Because in heaven, there won't be thieves. In heaven, there won't be Bernie Madoffs. And Bernie Madoff made off with all the dough. Is that all right? But in heaven, there won't be anybody like Bernie Madoff. But in heaven also, it will be an environment where there will not be any decay. So Jesus said, lay up for yourself. Are you doing that? Some people make a direct deposit in the bank or the credit union, but hadn't made a direct deposit into heaven. Is that all right? You ought to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And he also said, great is your reward in heaven. Is that correct? And then the Apostle Paul said, he said, I was caught up one day to the third heaven. And he said, the third heaven is, the first heaven is where the birds fly. The second heaven are where the planets are. And the third heaven is where God is. And Paul said, whether it was an in the body or out of the body experience, I cannot tell. But I was caught up into heaven and I heard words so awesome. It was not lawful for a man to speak. That's a place I want to go. Abraham, the father of the faithful, was looking for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That is, God is the architect and the builder. Is that all right? He is the architect of heaven, and he is also the builder of heaven. I need some information about heaven. Then Peter tells me, he said that we have an inheritance in heaven that is undefiled, incorruptible, and it fades not away. What I'm telling you, you can't lose this. Your investment in heaven is safe, and you can't lose it. It won't spoil. It won't decay. It won't fade away. Is that all right? So this should create within me a desire where I want to go to heaven. But also we got to face reality about life. Now, as much as you like this world is not your home. Hello? I don't care whether you live in Greystone or No Stone. This world is not your home. One day, we got to get up out of here. Is that all right? One day, you're going to receive an eviction notice. And this world is going to put you out. You got to have somewhere to go. There's heaven. Then that's this other place where they ain't got no air condition. Is that all right? So you got to make a decision that where am I going to go when my life on this earth is over? You know, Peter talked about in 1 Peter 1 about verse 7. He talks about past the time of your sojourning in fear, in reverence of God. Sojourn means a brief visit to a place. Is that all right? James talked about the fact, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while, vanishes away. You say, you don't have to be positive mature to die. You can be young and die. Because death knocks with equal hand at the palace gate and the cottage door. Death knocks on everybody's door sooner or later. Is that all right? And then Paul said in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 7, we brought nothing. Hello? When you were born, you didn't have a U-Haul behind you. And when you die, they don't put U-Haul behind hearses. Is that all right? Rich man died in New York City, and they was passing by the beard, and somebody said, well, I wonder how much he left. And the old lady said, he left it all. Because you're going to leave it out. Paul said, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain. Certain. You can count on it. You can carry nothing out. Is that all right? And so then you ought to have a desire within your heart that I want to go to heaven. You want to go? Anybody want to go this morning? It's sort of like a man one time, the preacher was preaching one time, and he was just preaching, and he said, how many want to go to heaven tonight? How many want to go to heaven? And folk was saying, yeah, preacher, I want to go to heaven. The hands went up. And there was one man, he was noticing, didn't raise his hand. So he asked again, how many want to go to heaven tonight? Hands went up. That man still sat there, didn't raise his hand. So finally he said, I'll try one more. How many want to go to heaven tonight? Hands went up. And the man still didn't raise his hand. So the service was over. So he decided he'd talk to the man. He said, sir, I noticed when I said, how many want to go to heaven? I noticed you didn't raise your hand. He said, well, I thought you were trying to get a load up tonight. Is that all right? You see, he wanted to go, but he didn't want to go right now. Some of us want to go, but we don't want to go right now. Is that all right? But I'm telling you, you need it. It needs to be in your heart. It needs to be settled. You need to be convinced in your mind and your heart and your soul that I am determined that I'm going to heaven. But you got to watch out for that devil, because he will sabotage you. He will give you a false way to heaven. He will give you a shortcut to heaven. You see, he works through false apostles and false prophets and deceitful workers. And these deceitful workers, they pervert the message of salvation that prevents people from going to this place called heaven. Is that all right? But I've got to resist that. I can't follow the path of least resistance, because rivers and men become crooked by following the path of least resistance. So I need to want to go to heaven when I die. Amen. I want to walk streets of gold. We sang about this morning, a mansion, a robe, and a crown. They tell me in heaven, not going to be no pain. Is that all right? In heaven, you're not going to need no Advil. In heaven, you're not going to need no Bengay. In heaven, you're not going to need no Theraflu. I wish I had some help here. Is that all right? Because in heaven, the former things will pass away. And God is going to wipe all tears from people's eyes. There will be no tears in heaven. Is that all right? Sometime down here, I have to cry sometime. Sometime down here, trouble gets in my way. Is that all right? I lay awake at night, but that's all right, because Jesus, he gonna fix it after a while. And that's why I got to want to go to the place called heaven. But let me tell you this, the final point in this lesson is, there are no shortcuts to heaven. Are you hearing me this morning? There are no shortcuts to heaven. There are no replacements for Jesus Christ. If you want to go to heaven, you got to go through Jesus. Is that right? Because he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except in logic. It's what is called an acceptive sentence. And it has this force. It means if and only if. Is that all right? The only way I can go to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Because I hear him saying in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So Christ is the only way you can go to heaven. And I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is unique. He is one of a kind. And the work, the saving work that he has done in the world, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do what he did. Your mama can't do for you what Jesus can do for you. Your daddy can't do for you what Jesus can do. Because Jesus Christ has performed a unique work. Because what he's done, he has put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He sacrificed himself in order for you and I to go to heaven. Because you can't go to heaven if you're living in your sin. And he is the only one that can help me get rid of my sins. Listen to Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the euangelion, that's the good news about Jesus, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. For I delivered unto you, first of all, how that Christ died. For I was in. Put your name in the blank. Yes, sir. Yeah. Make it personal. Yes, sir. You holler about y'all and them. Yeah. Jesus died for more sins. Wow. He was buried. Rose again the third day for my justification. Yeah. Is that all right? He got up early Sunday morning. He got up early when the dew came down and kissed the roses. He got up early when the rooster said cock-a-doodle-doo. Is that all right? He got up early on Sunday morning, never to die again. And what he's done, he's made it possible to put away my sin. Because without the shedding of blood, there can be. Somebody's got to die in order for me to go to heaven. Is that all right? And God sent his son. And the devil told him, take the shortcut. Just fall down and worship me. But Jesus said, that ain't the right way. Even though saving us meant suffering, agony, and death, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He despised the shame. And now he sat down at the right hand of God. There is no replacement for Jesus. He's in a class all by himself. And the only way, if I go to heaven, is because Jesus made it possible. Is that all right? And that's why he said, a lot of people don't like it, but I'm telling you, he not a way, he's the way. Is that all right? And anybody try to climb up any other way, it's nothing but a thief and a robber. Is that all right? Did you not know that there are thieves and robbers in the religious arena? I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But let me show you this. Jesus, go to 1 Thessalonians 4, Brother Hillary, chapter 4 and verse 14 through about verse 18. Let me show you that Jesus Christ is coming back one day to take us to heaven. You want to go? Do you want to go? Now, you can't take the shortcut. Is that all right? You got to take the true way. And God's way is the true way. You have it, brother? Here, what does it say?
That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor.
1 Thessalonians.
Chapter 4, verse 4.
14.
14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again.
If we believe. How many this morning believe that Jesus died?
Amen.
How many believe he rose again?
Amen.
Watch this. Come on.
Even so them also. Which sleep in Jesus.
Do you have some loved ones who've died in Jesus?
All right.
Let me tell you, if they died in Christ, they're all right.
Amen.
Hello? Come on.
Will God bring with him?
Will God bring with him?
For this we say unto you.
For this we say unto you.
By the word of the Lord.
By the word of the Lord.
That we which are alive.
And let me tell you something. God's word is in a class all by itself. Read, Brother Hillary.
That we which are alive.
We which are alive. If you happen to be alive when Jesus come back.
And remain
alive. Hello. When he comes back, when the sky splits open and Jesus come back with his mighty angels and flaming fire. I want to tell you, if I'm driving on Denison Avenue and Jesus come back, I'm getting out. Hello. Because I'm going with the Lord. I want to go to heaven. I know he's the way. Read, Brother Hillary.
And remain unto the coming of the Lord.
Remain unto the coming of the Lord. That is, if you alive when he comes back.
Shall not prevent
or hinder them.
Which are asleep.
Which are asleep, which have died. Come on.
For the Lord himself.
For the Lord himself. There it is. The Lord himself. He said, I am what? The way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible said, the Lord himself. Not a substitute. Not a stand-in. Not a surrogate, but the Lord himself. Come on.
Shall descend from heaven.
Shall descend. We saw him ascend. We saw him go up on the cloud of glory. My God, he stepped on a cloud and he went back to heaven. One day he's going to descend. He's going to descend. You see, our sin is up, descend is down. Come on.
With a shout.
He's going to come back with a shout.
With the voice of the archangel.
So even God believe in shouting. Did you hear what I say? Folk hollering about you can't shout. God going to shout. So he's going to come back with a shout. Come on.
With the voice of the archangel.
All right.
And with the trump of God.
The trump of God.
And the dead in Christ.
And the dead in Christ.
Shall rise first.
Shall rise first.
Then we which are alive.
Then we which are alive.
And remain shall be
caught up. And remain shall be caught up.
Together.
Together.
With them in the cloud.
With them where?
In the cloud.
How are we going on the what?
Cloud.
Cloud airline. Cloud airline. You got your ticket? You got your reservation? Come on.
To meet the Lord in the air.
To meet the Lord in the air. Now, I know earth, wind, and fire said keep your head to the sky. But Jesus will take you through the sky. I wish I had some help in here. I wish somebody knew what I was talking about. Somebody keep your head to the sky. I want to go through the sky.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Hallelujah.
Read, Brother Hillary.
Shall we ever be with
and
the Lord?
And so shall, Lord, have mercy. And be so shall. I'll leave this world. Won't have to worry about folks messing with my money.
Yeah.
About folks cussing me out because I didn't see them coming.
Uh-huh.
Come on, y'all. Worry about folks lying on me. I wish I had some help here. Trying to stab me in the back. Send a booby trap for me. Is that all right? So shall we ever be. Can you imagine living in a society like that? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Come on.
Wherefore comfort one another.
Wherefore comfort.
Words.
He says comfort. How many need comfort and consolation? Yeah, I need some comfort and consolation. I need something to encourage me. Amen. With these words. Now there are religious thieves and robbers. Let's go to John 10, Brother Hillary. Let's look at John 10, verse 1, then John 10, verse 7 and 8. There are religious thieves and robbers in the religious realm. Let's see what he says.
Verily, verily, I say unto you.
Verily, verily, I say unto you.
He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold.
He that entereth in not by the door
into the sheepfold.
Into the sheepfold.
But climbeth up some other way.
See, some people are trying to go to heaven another way. You're trying to climb up another way. In the Tower of Babel. They tried to climb up another way. Let us build a tower to heaven. Now I know with our technological prowess, we power up rockets. We send them into outer space. We even brag that we went to the moon. But I'm here to tell you our technology, our intellectual capacity will not enable us to go to heaven. Because the way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Is that all right? And so there are some people trying to go another way. Some people trying to go another way size Christianity. I'm telling you, any other way is a thief and a robber. Read, Brother Hillary. Jesus said the same as a thief and a robber. Drop down to verse 7 now. Said Jesus unto them. Verily, verily, I say unto you.
Door of the sheep.
I'm the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves. He's not talking about people who break in your house, steal your battery, steal your car. Hello? I remember, man, I had a Buick Wildcat. That was my first car, Buick Wildcat. And I paid $250 for it. And I bought me a AM, FM radio from Radio Shack. And I mounted it under the dashboard. I won't tell you, I had stereophonic sounds in that car. Huh? Man, I had me a good radio. One day I parked it outside and the thieves came and stole my radio. I was so heartbroken. Amen. And I went riding looking for my radio, but I couldn't find it. That's what thieves will do to you. They'll steal your stuff, and you can't find it. Read, Brother Hillary.
But the sheep did not hear them.
The sheep did not hear them.
I am the door.
Jesus said, I am the door.
By me, if any man enter.
By me.
If any man enter.
No shortcut. By me. If you want to go to heaven, you got to go through Christ. By me, if any man enter, he shall be saved. Is that all right? And so, there are thieves and robbers. But Jesus says, I am the bread of life. If any man eat this bread, he'll never die. There are thieves and robbers. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Is that all right? Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. I know there have been great speakers. I know there have been great orators. I know there have been great preachers. I know there have been great speakers. But never spake man like this man. He is not one way, but he is the way. And let me tell you this as I rush, trying to conclude now. There is no substitute for the Bible. There is no substitute or replacement. We are drowning today in information and data. We are inundated with all types of information and data. But I want to let you know that in the Bible, we have a deposit of divine truth for all times. Jude 3, quickly. In the Bible, there is a deposit of divine truth, and it is infallible and it is authoritative. Jude 3 talks about it being delivered once for all. Come on.
Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you.
All right.
And that ye should earnestly contend for the faith.
Contend for the faith.
Once delivered unto the saints.
It was once delivered to the saint once for all. Now, let me tell you something. Any message concerning salvation that contradicts this message is false. Because the preachers, they were infallible preachers and teachers concerning the message of salvation. Who are they? They are Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the apostles of Christ. They are the infallible preachers and teachers of the message of salvation. Now, what did they tell people they had to do in order to qualify for heaven? Let me tell you, listen very carefully. This is what they told them. They told them that, first of all, that Jesus died for their sins. You can be saved. You can go to heaven. That he was buried. He rose again the third day. That's the gospel. Then they told them, you must believe this. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what you got to do if you want to go to heaven. Then you must repent. Acts 17:30, at the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. If you want to go to heaven, you've got to repent. That's what they taught. They taught people you must confess Christ. Romans 10:9-10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then they said, yes, listen, this is a big one. People struggle right here. They taught people they must be baptized or immersed in water for the remission of their sins. Mark 16:15-16. 1 Peter 3:21 tells us, read it for yourself, that baptism doth now save us. Now, I know people are telling you don't have to be baptized, but what did they say? It ain't what I say. I'm talking about these infallible preachers and teachers. We all got to agree with them. Amen. Amen. And then when you obeyed that, listen, God added you to the church. I'm going to talk more about that, but let me say this. So the Bible, there's no replacement for the Bible. I heard somebody say many years ago, I entered this wonderful temple called the Bible. I walked down to the Old Testament art gallery with the pictures of Noah, Abraham, Moses, Jacob, and Daniel hung on the wall. I passed into the music room of Psalms, where the Spirit swept the keyboard of nature, until it seemed that every reed and pipe in God's great organ of nature responded to the tuneful harp of David, the sweet singer of Israel. I passed into the chapel of Ecclesiastes, where the voice of the preacher was heard, and into the conservatory of Sharon, where the lily of the valley, sweet scented spices, fill and perfume my life. I stepped into the observatory of the prophets, and I saw various telescopes, some pointing to far-off events, but all concentrated on the bright and the morning star that would rise above the Judean hills for our salvation. I stepped into the audience room and I got a glimpse of the vision of the king from the standpoint of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I stepped into the book of Acts and I saw the Holy Spirit in the formation of the infant church. Then I stepped into the corresponding room. I saw Peter, Paul, John, and Jude sitting, penning their epistles. Then I stepped into the throne room of Revelation where all towered into glittering peaks. And I saw the king sitting on his throne. And I cried, oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him. I wish somebody would help me crown him. Crown him. Crown him. Lord of all. And let me tell you this. I want you to think about this as we conclude. There is no substitute for the church. There was an interesting conversation took place in Caesarea Philippi. The question was, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some said he was Jeremiah, John the Baptist, or one of the prophets. But whom say ye that I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus said, upon this bold declaration, I will build my church. He said, I'm going to build it. And hell can't stop me. I'm going to build it. And all the devils in hell can't stop me. I'm going to build it. Nothing going to stop me. Is that all right? I'm going to die, but even death can't stop me. I'm going to build my church. My church. Amen. There are a lot of churches in the world. Listen to me. But it's only one in this Bible. What church? And you know, people say, go to the church of your choice. The church of your choice ought to be the church of God's choice. I think I said something right there. I said the church of your choice. You want to go to heaven? You want to go to heaven? I said the church of your choice ought to be the church of God's choice. Sorry. What church? What church? The church Jesus promised to build in Caesarea Philippi. Yes, what church? The one he purchased with his own blood. What church? The one you can read about. Where? In the Bible. Right, that's the one that Jesus married to. Yeah. That's the one he said he's coming back for. Yes, amen. And anything that anything that contradicts that message, it can't be right. Amen? Now I'm closing now. But there are no shortcuts. No shortcuts. Amen? Remember I was traveling somewhere with somebody? He said, man, I'm going to show you a shortcut. I was okay. We turned down that road and got tangled up. And that shortcut became a long cut. Is that all right? We couldn't get what we needed to get. But I'm closing now. I'm going to my seat. I hope somebody, this great family and friends today, that you want to go to heaven. Make your calling and your election sure. Because the God I serve is a great God. God I serve is a gracious God. The God I serve, he's a great God. Is that all right? And he's so gracious, he's invited me to a city that he built. He's the architect and he's the builder. Is that all right? So I ask you, don't you want to go to that land? Oh, don't you want to go to that land where I'm bound? Where I'm bound. Is that all right? Well, John, the inspired revelator, saw a city. And John said, it's a celestial city. John said, in that city, there's no need of the sun or the moon to shine it. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. Is that all right? Yes, I want to go to that city. Is that all right? And John saw a great caravan moving to that city that has foundation. Is that all right? John took a panoramic view of all of the scheme of redemption. And John said, I saw 144,000 from the tribe of Israel coming out of the Old Testament. Is that all right? John said, from the tribe of Judah, 12,000 seal. From the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 seal. From the tribe of Gad, 12,000 seal. From the tribe of Asher, 12,000 seal. From the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 seal. From the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 seal. From the tribe of Levi, 12,000 seal. From the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 seal. From the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 seal. From the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 seal. From the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 seal. From the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 seal. And then John said, and I look, and I look, and I look, and oh, I saw a number. Put up your calculator. Then I saw a number. Couldn't no man number. Is that all right? From all nations and kindreds and tongues and people. And John said they stood before the throne in white robes. And they had palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice. They said, salvation to our God and to the Lamb. Is that all right? Oh, I tell you, there ain't no shortcut. Is that all right? But there's a man, he was called away. There's a man, he's called the truth. There's a man, he's called the life. There's a man, his name is wonderful. There's a name, his name is counselor. There's a man, his name is mighty God. There's a man, his name is everlasting father. There's a man, his name is Prince of Peace. Is that all right? He, glory to God. I said he is the way. Is that all right? Don't you want to go? Would you stand, please? To that land. Don't you want to go to that land? Let me tell you something as I conclude. The greatest decision you will ever make is to decide whether you want to go to heaven. Anybody want to go to heaven? The greatest vote you will ever cast is whether you will vote to go to heaven. And let me tell you this, one day we all got to die. Hello? And here's the issue. And the only issue is, will you die in your sin? Or will you die with your sins forgiven? And the only way I can have my sins forgiven is through Jesus Christ. Is that all right? And I tell you, if I follow the man who said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw, Lord have mercy, all men unto me. Are you here today? Would you like to give your life to Christ today? You'll be so glad that you did. I hope I've said something to make you think. Put on your thinking cap. Don't just accept what people tell you about going to heaven. Get in that book and open it up. And read it for yourself. Is that all right? Because you got too much at stake. You do have a dog in the fight. Amen. Hello? Yeah. You got a horse in the hunt or in the race. Yeah, right. And so you got to know What must I do? Let these infallible preachers and teachers tell you what you must do to be saved. And you know you'll be all right. Are you here today? Are you here today? This is a great crowd today. Are you here today? Anybody here want to be saved today? Oh Lord, I come to receive, patiently waiting for the harvest. I got the Hebrews. The kind of faith. And it's mine. Oh, mine. Oh, yeah. Oh, Lord, I come to receive my blessing. Patiently waiting for the harvest. I got the Hebrews. The kind of faith. And it's mine. Oh, mine. Oh, yeah.